Come closer, inshallah. The closer we sit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites our heart. It shows, my dear brothers, that we are in need of deen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate this evening in Durban, especially in our masjid, Mallinson Road Masjid, Masjid al-Nur. Our imam that led us in the salah was Hafiz Yusuf Kala. Hafiz Yusuf Kala hails from Heidelberg, and inshallah we will also hear his melodious voice. He will render a naat, inshallah, before the program, before Mufti Aqub Saab, gives us his discourse. But I just want to mention that sometimes people who are hidden away in a certain town, not in a big town, they are not very well known, we don't really recognize them. And today is an opportunity for us to tell Hafiz Saab that Jazakumullahu Khairan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted him for a very great khidmat. Ashrafu ummati hamalatul Quran. There is a hadith, something to the effect that the ashraf, the special people of my ummah, are those who are the hamalatul Quran, the carriers of the Quran, those who make effort of the Quran. Their life is for Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted Hafiz Saab. Many of us don't know, but for 42 years, he's the oldest serving ustad in Darul Uloom, Newcastle. 42 years, he's a serving of a ustad, and up till now, he's teaching hibs. He hails from Heidelberg, he's teaching from the time of Maulana Qasim Seema rahmatullah alayhi. So we don't ever get an opportunity to express our appreciation and gratitude to people of this nature. They are unknown to us. Today we, you know, the people of Durban have this opportunity to listen to Hafiz Saab and also to express our appreciation that so many people have passed through his hands who have benefited and who have learned the Quran and who are making the services and khidmat of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq also to do some khidmah for deen in some particular way. Hafiz Saab is, his voice is so melodious, it seems like a young person reciting. If you don't have to see his beard or his face, you'll sing. This is a very young person reciting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses certain people. Together with that, today we have, alhamdulillah, one of the senior ustads of Darul Uloom, Mufti Muhammad Aku. Mufti Saab studied in Darul Uloom, Newcastle, and then he did his iftar by Mufti Radaul Haq Saab in Darul Uloom, Zakaria. So we are fortunate, we've got people of knowledge. It's a very great thing to study in an institution and then be chosen to teach in that institution. Those of us who have been through institutions, we know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Mufti Saab. He's got a special interest in history. And this is not an easy fun, not an easy subject, because you have to remember so many names, so many places, so many waqiyat. You're going to study it because there might be different narrations of how something particularly happened, and you have to choose and relate the correct incident in a correct manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq today, alhamdulillah, to sit. Many of the ladies wanted to listen, so I think this program is live as well. So let us take benefit. I think whilst I have the mic, I also wish to express our appreciation and gratitude to the trustees, to the Imam, Maulana Naeem Saab, for allowing us to have this program here. Allah Pak give you jazai khair, as well as the trustees. And brothers, the fikr of a person, our Haji Farooq and Haji Harun Makada, they came forward with this idea and said, Maulana, this topic, we haven't heard it in Durban. Let us have this topic in Durban. Let us have it in Durban. So the fikr of one person can become a benefit for the community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us jazai khair, each one of you, for attending. Inshallah, first we'll have Hafiz Saab, and then immediately Mufti Saab will take over. Jazakallahu khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نام احمد یہ وہ چنامی اگر نام احمد یہ وہ چنامی اگر بیرادا بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا، راہ کے سنگ ریزے بکھر جائیں گے، اہل بیداد کا دل پگل جائے گا، نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا، آمنہ کی ذرا گوت برنے تو دو، آمنہ کی ذرا گوت برنے تو دو، سارے عالم کا نقشہ بدل جائے گا، آمنہ کی ذرا گود برنے تو دو، سارے عالم کا نقشہ بدل جائے گا، سنتے ہی آیت بت شکن کی خبر کفر ایمان کے سانچے میں ڈل جائے گا، نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا، کملی والے فقط کملی والے نہیں، ان پہ شہدائے آسمان و زمین، کملی والے فقط کملی والے نہیں، ان پہ شہدائے آسمان و زمین، کیا اشارہ میں سورج پلٹ آئے گا، پیر رکھ دے تو پتھر پگھل جائے گا، سدرۃ المنتہا پر جو پہنچے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، سدرۃ المنتہا پر جو پہنچے نبی، سر جھکا کر یہ جبریل کہنے لگے، اے حبیب خدا اب سوا آپ کے اس سے آگے جو جائے گا جل جائے گا، نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا، موت بھی تجھ کو آئے تو کچھ غم نہیں، آخرت تیری یوسف بدل جائے گی، کیا یہ کم مدینہ پہنچ کر کے بھی سارا ارمان اپنا نکل جائے گا، نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا، راہ کے سنگ ریزے بکھر جائیں گے، اہل بیداد کا دل پگھل جائے گا، نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا،
ماشاءاللہ. اللہ کی بس توفیق، اللہ کی بس توفیق، تم ایئر مور بینیفٹ مور، دا praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam soften the heart. Allah soften our hearts in the true love of Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa habibina wa muta'ina wa maulana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala ta'ala, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وقال تعالى وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وقال تعالى تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أنا رحمة مهداة وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this session we have beneficial. These words Hafsa recited, so beautiful, a reminder for us. As Amina radiallahu anha was told, allow your chest to fill. Because through your child, the world, the universe will change. The entire appearance of the universe will change. This is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I request everyone to actually study the words of Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, rahmatullahi. When he analyzes and he discusses Mi'raj, when he discusses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mi'raj, he said, one is look at the events that took place on the Mi'raj. He says, but also see what change happened to the world. Allah was giving a lesson to this world that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent for humanity in totality. Allah took him to a land that was under Roman territory. There he arrived, he performed salah. Afterwards he met Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam there or prior. The one view is, because he was introduced to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the heavens, he led them in prayer afterwards. But that was in lands under the Romans. Allah was teaching the world, and this lesson was presented to the world that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's nubuwah transcended every bound, every barrier of color, race, nationality, region, people. Everyone is the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From inception, he came for humanity. I ask this question, who was that woman? Because our discussion is Africa on this occasion. Who was that woman? Radiyallahu anha. She spent more time with Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than any other human in history. He loved her so much. When he was young, when he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was there. When his father passed away, she was there. Then Allah's beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha. After Taif, the community, Banu Sa'd. Allah chose that for his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah's Nabi returns. And there, he was with his mother. His mother took him to visit her family, because she is Zuhri, Banu Zuhra clan. They come from Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Abdullah was born to Amina and she was from Medina Munawwara. And there also Amina wanted to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit the grave of his father who passed away there as well. And then interestingly, two Jewish people told her, mentioned to her that this child has the symptoms of the final Nabi of Allah. His life could be endangered by the Jews. Then she actually hastened her return to Makkah Mukarramah. But prior to that, when Allah's Nabi made Hijrah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remembered, he recalled as a child where his mother made him stay, where he lived with his mother for those months in Medina Munawwara. He remembers where his mother sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him to swim. And then this individual was there when the beloved of Allah's mother left this world. She passed away at Abwa. She remembers how he cried incessantly by his grave. And she takes him back to his grandfather. And she was there with him. And then, as Abdul Muttalib was to leave this world, he called Abu Talib that this child is very, very special. Historically, Abdul Muttalib knew. There were signs shown to him as well. especially when he traveled, when he traveled to Yemen to congratulate the king of Yemen, when he becomes the ruler, Saif the Yazan, when he becomes the king of Yemen, Abdul Muttalib takes a delegation to congratulate him. There also he mentioned to him that, how dare you speak before me? What is your right to speak before a ruler? When Abdul Muttalib introduced himself, Saif the Yazan humbled himself to say that, yes, you are the family of my sister. And then he mentioned to him about the final Nabi of Allah. And Abdul Muttalib introduced himself further. He says, it is your child. Then he gave gifts to the entire delegation. And as they were returning, the other senior members of Quraysh were somewhat jealous of Abdul Muttalib, because whatever they received, he received 10 times more. So he says to them, you actually envy me for something tangible. If you knew something else that I know, you would envy me much, much more. Because of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when his grandfather passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she remembers how he cried. And then he went to stay with Abu Talib, who showed him so much of love. But she went to stay alone. And there were two women who took special care of him. One was the wife of Abu Talib, that sadly we seldomly take her name, but she was among the first people to embrace Islam at the hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the first women to embrace Islam, the first Sahabiyya, and actually the first person to recite the Kalima, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. The second, historically, one of the common views, Lubaba bint al-Harith radiallahu anha, Ummul Fadl. And some say the second was Baraka Ummu Ayman, who we've been speaking about all along. She is Al-Habashiyya. Baraka bintu Thalaba Al-Habashiyya radiallahu anha. She comes from Abyssinia. She was African. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inherited her from his father. And she cared for him like a mother. He would say, this is my mother. Ummi ba'da ummi, after my mother. What was the world being taught? That Allah loves everyone. That this is a woman from Africa. She was dark in skin. But Allah chose her to care for the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would make his khidmah. Going back to this point, then the next Muslimah was Fatima bintul Khattab radiallahu anha, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's sister. And she became the means of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's hidayah. Then was Lubaba bint al-Harith, the wife of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. He became Muslim later, but she was a Muslim in the initial stages. Her name was Lubaba. What a beautiful meaning, what a beautiful name. The crux, the essence, the best part, Lubaba. And it also means intelligent, Lubaba. One of the first Sahabiyat, Ummul Fadl was her appellation. And amongst the first women to embrace Islam was the other individual who cared for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Baraka Ummu Ayman. And she was none other than the wife of Abu Talib, Fatima binti Asad. She was among the first to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she saw everything in him. She saw his miraculous nature. She saw his akhlaq when he grew up. She saw when he partook of meals, how he shaved. She saw his politeness, his neatness, his kindness, his consideration, his akhlaq. And she saw the miracles in his life. The miracles of a Nabi of Allah prior to his nubuwah. The Arabic word is irhas. She saw the irhasat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the miracles of Anbiya alayhi wasallam after their nubuwah is mu'jizat, the miracles of Anbiya alayhi wasallatu wasallam. Like a pious person performs something very special, it's called karama of awliya. But Anbiya alayhi wasallam irhas and mu'jizat alayhi wasallatu wasallam. So Baraka cared for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Allah's Nabi grew, he used to make her khidmah. He asked Sahaba in Medina, in Makkah Mukarramah, who wants to marry a Jannati? Hazrat Zaid, who was younger, he chose to marry the quality, a Jannati. From that wedlock came Usama. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much. His color was like his mother, dark skin. Mother was from Africa. His features were like that of his father, Hazrat Zaid, who was white in color, bright. But Allah's Nabi taught the world that he came for humanity's hidayah. Hazrat Bilal bin Rabah, one of the closest Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The riwayah in Sunan Ibn Majah, Allah's Nabi used to rest on the lap of Hazrat Bilal. Rest on it. How much must be the level of love to rest on someone's lap? Then the report says, someone praised Bilal, the son of Abdullah bin Umar. Sahaba used to name their children after the senior Sahaba, so they can become like them. So Abdullah bin Umar named his son after Hazrat Bilal, the Muaddin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Bilal so much, but when someone praised Abdullah bin Umar's Bilal, that Bilal ibn Abdillahi khayru Bilali, Abdullah bin Umar's son Bilal is the best Bilal. Abdullah bin Umar corrected him. He says, brother, kadhabta. Ya kadhabta means akhta'ta. You are mistaken. You are incorrect. My Bilal is not the best. Say, Bilalu Rasulillahi khayru Bilali. Rasulullah's Bilal is the best. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the world what he came for, what he stood for, who he came for. Whether the Sahabi came from Persia, Allah's Nabi loved him. He was the greatest Qari, Salim, Mawla Abi Hudayfa. He used to teach Sahaba Quran. He came from Persia. He was not of Quraysh. Abu Hudayfa, radiallahu anhu, adopted him. Then Islam abolished the system of changing the name. Hazrat Suhaib al-Rumi, he grew up in Rome. Allah's Nabi loved everyone. Ammar bin Yasir, radiallahu anhum. And the first effort of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarrama and in Medina Munawwara was to unite the Ummah, to bring brotherhood. O Bilal, you and so are brothers. O Abu Bakr, your brother is Kharija. He's an Ansari, he's a Qurashi. So that tribalism, my tribe, my people, my qawm, my color, my nation, this was terminated. This was eradicated by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was one of the root causes of destruction throughout history. O Abu Bakr, your brother is Kharija. Because historically, the Ansar come from a lower degree of tribe. That was as far as genealogy is concerned, not Islam, not as Islam is concerned. Quraysh were known as the noblest. Allah's Nabi showed equality between each one. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, your brother Uwaym ibn Sa'ida. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, your brother. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Brotherhood, that care for the next. And this carried on. Hazrat Salman only got freedom at the time of Khandaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. Your brother is Abu Darda. You all make fikr for each other. You all care for each other. You bring him, you worry about him, write letters for each other. They used to send salams. When someone arrived in Damascus, Hazrat Abu Darda was there. He asked him, you met my brother Salman there in Medina Munawwara? He says, yeah, I met your brother. Where's my gift? Your brother didn't send a gift for you. He says, no, what did he tell you? He says, when you meet my brother, give him my salams. He says, that's my gift. Why didn't you convey my gift to me? My brother sending salams for me, such a dua, is salams. They used to write letters for each other. When he became the greatest scholar in Damascus, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Salman writes to him, are you giving fatwa there? He says, yeah. He says, make sure you give the correct fatwa. Are you giving the correct fatwa or are you trying? Are you really a doctor of fatwa? Meaning this was his expression in Balagha. At-tabib or mutatabib, or are you a student and you're trying? He would always remember the advisors of his brother, and he used to say, really, I'm just a student. And sometimes if he felt he didn't know the answer, he would say to the questioner, wait, I'm going to verify, I'm going to come back to you. This is the great Sahabi whose title, Abu Darda, he is known as Hakimu Hadi al-Ummah. Hakim of this Ummah is Hazrat Abu Darda. His name was Uwaymir. Uwaymir ibn al-Ajlan, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Like this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared his Sahaba for the world in Medina Munawwara throughout the expeditions. He taught Sahaba to treat everyone well. Even in Taif, how he spoke to a slave. A slave came to deliver grapes to him. A slave. His name, you tell me. Hazrat Adas. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bleeding. Blood was pouring from his body. He didn't want the blood to reach the ground. He didn't want the people to be cursed. The offer was made to ruin the Akhshabain. Jabal is mountain. Akhshab is a humongous mountain. The mountain surrounding Makkah and Taif would topple those nations. Allah's Nabi says no. Imagine his emotions at that time. He was bleeding. They stoned him for kilometers. He took shelter in the vineyard, surrounded by grapes, and Adas comes to deliver some grapes for him. Allah's Nabi converses with the slave. He hears Allah's Nabi say, Bismillah. Show deen through character, Bismillah. Explain to a person, we're living in a non-Muslim country. What does Bismillah mean? He doesn't know. He lives next to the masjid. I guarantee you 90%. He doesn't know. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What does adhan mean? He doesn't know. This is an amazing riwaya. One of the sahaba who took Islam into Africa. I'm just jumping the gun. Hazrat Ziyad bin Harith Sudai. When he was in Masjid al-Nabawi. And he heard the mashura taking place. That an area were planning an attack upon Medina Munawwara. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intelligence. He was sending sahaba there before they could make their move. So this sahabi comes forward, he says, O Nabi of Allah, I just became Muslim. And I know these are my people. Give me a chance. I'm going to go. Before you send sahaba, give me a chance. I'll bring them to Islam. Allah's Nabi says, you do your best, you go. And he recalled those sahaba radiallahu anhum back. And he goes. Within a short span of time, his entire community became Muslim. When he returned to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi was so elated by him. Allah's Nabi says, you will run the affairs of deen in your community. He was the imam, he was the muadzin. But to train him, Allah's Nabi made him give adhan in Masjid al-Nabawi. Hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. He gave the adhan. Hazrat Bilal wanted to give the iqamah. Allah's Nabi says, no. Where's the brother? Inna akha suda'in adhana. The brother from Suda, that tribe, he gave adhan, he must make the iqamah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was training him. And that was also the usul Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him, unless there's an udh. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy with the sahabi who brought his entire community, Ziyad bin Harith Sudai. He then later on takes Islam further into Africa. And many sahaba radiallahu anhum like this. So in this Medinan stage as well, every opportunity to unite the ummah. After Badr, when the captives of Badr were brought, they were kept next to Masjid al-Nabawi. What was the reason? For them to see how sahaba from all sorts of backgrounds, how they love each other, how they respect each other. Sahaba used to feed them first and then used to eat. Captives were shocked. That's not how they treated the sahaba when sahaba were tortured in dungeons in Makkah. Sahaba were tortured in Makkah. But here they're given VIP treatment next to Masjid al-Nabawi. They were given an opportunity to change. Throughout the Medinan stage, this was what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Ramadan is coming. We're making tilawat of the Quran. One request. Take note of the chapter we're reading. Let's increase in the tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. But to increase in the love of the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Analyze the chapter we are reading. If, yes, you read yesterday Suratul Kahf, chapter 18 of the Quran. Analyze that number 18. See the number on the other side. That number is 69. What does that mean? That's there with purpose. That's to tell us, in the sequence of Quran, this is chapter 18. Because Allah wants it to be in this sequence. But in the sequence of revelation, so we know where it was revealed. This is chapter 69. So up till 86, preferably, there is different views. These are chapters revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. From 87 onward, like Baqarah, 88, this is a chapter revealed in early Medina Munawwara. Anfal, revealed early Medina Munawwara, because Anfal is Quran's commentary of the expedition of Badr. Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3 of the Quran. We should all read the translation of Surah Ali Imran. Why? Because daily in our workplaces, we have Christians working alongside us. They work for us. They work with us. They are our neighbors. They are our friends. Allah in the Quran tells us the entire detailed narrative of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in chapter 3 of the Quran. Easy to remember. 333, verse 33. The entire story.
إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. Read the translation. Ask the ulama's guidance. And under supervision of ulama, the translation is so simple. The translation is so enjoyable. So beautiful. We love the Quran. We'll enjoy our Ramadan. And then our friends who are with us, we'll show them. See, Allah speaks of Isa alayhi salam in our Quran. He's Jesus. Then ask him, you know who's Imran? 90% he'll tell you he doesn't know who's Imran. Tell him that is the mother of Maryam radiallahu anha alayhi salam. He'll shock. Then tell him chapter 19 is Surah Maryam. Tell him Isa alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran 25 times. And Maryam alayhi salam, one of the greatest women in history. She's mentioned in the Quran, in the Bible 18 times. In the Quran Kareem 32 times. Who's gonna tell him? The ladies, your wife will tell. The men, you and I have to tell. Our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, our associates. When Sahaba went to the different countries of the world, now Hudaybiyah took place. Hudaybiyah took place 6th year. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the dream. He's performing Umrah with his Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But there were great lessons here. Allah was teaching the world that Allah will make things happen at the right time. At the right time. So Sahaba went. The Meccans barred the Muslims' entry into Makkah. They were yearning for Kaaba, especially the Muhajireen. They haven't seen Kaaba in ages. They want to see Kaaba. They want to look at Kaaba. That's why even when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was sent into Makkah to negotiate, they all were shocked. They said, Uthman is very lucky. He got the Kaaba to himself. Because they were yearning. It was their desire to look at Kaaba that made them utter the statement. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this and corrected it. You've misunderstood Hazrat Uthman. My Uthman would never perform tawaf without me. And rightfully so, when Hazrat Uthman entered, they welcomed him. They respected him. One of the reasons why was, people respect money. If Allah gave you money, it's a test. And if Allah didn't give, it's also a test. Both are tests. If Allah gave us respect, it's a test. And if Allah didn't, it's also a test. When Sahaba were given honor and respect, they used it to inspire people to Allah. When Allah gave them wealth, they used that wealth for Allah. That's how we passed the test. What Hazrat Uthman did when they respected him? When he presented Rasulullah's message to him, they said to him, now you benefit from the Kaaba how much you want. We busy in our parliamentary discussion, we'll come with the response to you. He said, no, I won't go by the Kaaba until my Nabi goes. They said, what you'll do? He says, my Nabi sent me with errands. Allah's Nabi gave him two tasks. Go meet the Muslims. Give them reassurance. Tell them Allah's help is coming soon. And go meet the non-Muslims. Specifically Allah's Nabi told him. And give them dawah to Islam. Nowhere did Allah's Nabi say, we only give dawah to non-Muslims when the Muslims come right. Nowhere in Allah's Nabi's life. Nowhere in Quran. Nowhere in Sunnah do we find such a statement. These are both efforts that have to take place. If separately, fine. But simultaneously. Because every one of us meet Muslims on a daily non-Muslims on a daily basis. And if he dies tomorrow, if he dies tomorrow, and he died without iman, he'll be escorted to Jahannam. And he will say, Allah, I knew that Muslim who was so good, who was so just, who was so fair, who was so honest. But he never told me I trusted him. He never told me Islam is the truth. He never told me Quran is also for me. He never told me. Then you and I will be interrogated by Allah. Interrogated. That why didn't we? The hadith says that we'll say, khashyatun nas. Allah was scared of repercussion. Scared of their reaction. Scared of losing the customer. Hadith says scared. Scared of what Allah knows. Allah will say, why do you fear the people? Don't you have your Allah to fear? فَإِيَّايَ كُنْتُ أَحَقَّ أَن تَخْشَى. Anyway, Muslims then couldn't perform the tawaf and the umrah because Allah didn't decree it yet. Muslims returned. Returning to Makkah, they were hurt. What were the verses of Quran revealed? إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Oh my Nabi, we have given you all such a victory, such a victory. Clear-cut victory. Sahaba asked, is this a victory? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the greatest victory. And what happened was, Hazrat Abu Bakr explained it further. And Ibn Shihab Zuhri, one of the greatest, one of the great tabi'een, and one of the first scholars who documented the sciences of hadith, he explains, analyze the seerah. Up till this point, 13 plus 6, 19 years, how many sahaba made Hudaybiyah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the next year Umrah, 1400 or 1600. 2 years later when Fath Makkah took place, 10,000 sahaba marched to Makkah Mukarramah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More deen spread in 2 years than the last 19 years. Why? Because now they interacted with sahaba. And whenever people interacted with sahaba, sahaba always, بغير استثناء, no exception, always, har hal mein, in every condition, sahaba gave dawat and invited to. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina Munawwara. He gathered sahaba in Masjid al-Nabawi and he said to sahaba, O my sahaba, inna Allah ba'athani kafatan linnasi rahma fa'addu anni. O my sahaba, Allah sent me for the world. You have to take it from me and give it to the world. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, we ready. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa sahmi to Persia. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Dihya Kalbi radiyallahu anhu to the Roman territory. By that time, the Caesar was in Palestine appreciating, thanking Allah, because he just then conquered the Persians and he regained many of his lands. Quran refers to this in Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Hatib bin Abi Balta'a to Egypt. Amr bin Umayyah Damri to Abyssinia. But there Islam started spreading already. So he went with a different letter, requesting Najashi to send the Sahaba back. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes that when Sahaba went to Abyssinia during the Meccan stage, they didn't only go to protect their own deen. Never did Sahaba only go to protect their own deen. Wherever Sahaba went, they propagated Islam. They shared Allah's deen. They invited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For wherever and whenever Sahaba radiallahu anhu went. Hatib radiallahu anhu, when he goes to Egypt, his invitation to the Alexandria of Egypt was very amazing. When he arrives there, because from Egypt Islam entered into Africa. So here, this was the first encounter. Hatib inspired this king. When he arrives there, he shows the king a letter. He calls him up to his balcony. So the Alexandrian king, his name was Jurayj ibn Mina. He calls the Sahabi up. And the Sahabi sits with him in his balcony. And there was the following discussion. He asks questions to the Sahabi. He says, okay, if your Nabi is true, why is it that when he was banished from Makkah, why couldn't he defeat the people? If he's a true man, he has Allah on his side. Look at the answer of Hazrat Hatib. Hazrat Hatib knows that the person he's speaking to is a Christian king, Orthodox Christian. Egyptians were staunch Christians. They were better than close to Catholicism, like the Romans. These were more staunch and more practical Christians, as we see later in history, because the Romans ruled Egypt and they oppressed the Egyptians. He says, when Isa alayhi salam was attacked and they wanted to kill him, did he make dua for his people or did he curse his people? At this response, Muqawqis was shocked. He said, such a wise man, and Allah's Nabi who sent you is much more wise. But this Alexandrian king seemed to be very intelligent, because prior to this, when Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah met him, when Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu met him, Hazrat Mughira says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to my door on many occasions. قَدْ كَانَ يَأْتِي يَأْتِينَا إِلَىٰ أَبْوَابِنَا قَدْ كَانَ يَأْتِينَا فِي بُيُوتِنَا. He would come to our door, but I'll never accept him. Out of pride, he said this. Then Alexandrian king told him, Muqawqis, that how unwise of you, a man brings goodness to your door and you chase him away. This is what made Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah think a lot. And he started going to meet the priests of Egypt. And that inspired him, and he went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he embraced Islam just before Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. That's why during Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, he was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guard. But Allah's Nabi told him, your Islam I accept, but the money you stole prior, I have nothing to do that. You have to pay that back. I have nothing to do with that. That's why when one of the people who came to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose name was Urwa ibn Mas'ud, and he was shocked to see his nephew, because he had to pay the blood money. His nephew was guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But back to this. This Sahabi, Hazrat Hatib, says to the king of Egypt, He says, we are not telling you to denounce Jesus. وَلَسْنَا نَنْهَاكَ عَنِ الْمَسِيحِ لَكِنَّنَا نَأْمُرُكَ بِهِ. We advocate that you must follow Isa alayhi salam, because we also follow him. He's mentioned in our Quran. And this touched the king very, very much. We learn from here. Sometimes maybe a person won't become a Muslim immediately, but bring him a little closer. Show him akhlaq. Ramadan is coming. Send samosas like we send to Muslims. Send to the non-Muslims. Send our children to greet the old uncle nicely. And the servants working in our home. I want to come to that. But back to this. So Sahaba went to the different countries of the world. This was Egypt. Then Islam spread rapidly. Fath Makkah took place. Then Hajjatul Wada' took place. On the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on Arafah. And from Zawal till sunset, he made dua for his ummah. It was sunset time. Everyone, the entire entourage of Hajj, are waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure, for them to depart. And Rasulullah is waiting for one individual. So everyone was looking forward to see, who is this individual Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting for? He must be very, very special. And there, young Hazrat Usama, 18 years old, he comes up. And Allah's Nabi puts him on his own conveyance with Hazrat Usama. It was a shock, especially to those who were new to Islam, to such an extent that some new Muslims, who just recited the kalima, couldn't bear it yet. And they said, are we all made to wait for this individual? Historians write that those who showed this disrespect to Sahaba, they lost their iman. And they were part of the murtaddeen and the irtidad that took place thereafter. Hajjatul Wada took place. Allah's Nabi was showing the world that Allah loves everyone irrespective of color. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي إلا بالتقوى. This was the highlight of Allah's Nabi's khutbah in Hajjatul Wada'. Not did he only show the ummah this practically by putting Hazrat Usama with him, he showed the ummah this verbally as well. Verbally and practically. Until we don't love the ummah, how can we become the means of the hidayat of the ummah? Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world. His last words, salah was emphasized to a great extent. Salah, salah, salah. There were other advices as well. Ajizul wafda bimithli ma kuntu ujizuhum. O my Sahaba, when the delegations used to come to Madinah Munawwara, how I used to welcome them. Allah's Nabi would rush out of the masjid after dhuhr. We mustn't miss Sunnatul Mu'akkada. Sahaba saw him one day. He rushed back after welcoming the guests to the masjid. And he made his two sunnah after dhuhr Mu'akkada afterwards. Hazrat Ummu Salama asked him, O Nabi of Allah, what two was this? Allah's Nabi says, I missed my Mu'akkada after the dhuhr. I had to read it now. Because I had to welcome those guests coming to learn about Islam. At that time they were arriving. Allah's Nabi had a special jubba for them. Daily they were coming into Madinah Munawwara, 9th year Hijri, 10th year Hijri, daily there were delegations. Sahaba used to take them home, two people, three people, 10 people, 20 people. Hazrat Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah used to take daily to his home 70 people. After Fajr, Allah's Nabi would take kar guzari from the guests. Some were Muslim, some were non-Muslim. كَيْفَ وَجَدْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. How you all found my Sahaba? And they would report back, O Nabi of Allah, your Sahaba are so special. Not only did they feed us physically, but they fed us spiritually as well. The entire night they would answer our questions, convince us towards Islam, show us the beauty of Islam. Allah's Nabi would applaud the efforts of his Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, because he did their tarbiyat and training. So what did Allah's Nabi say? O my ummah, when the people came and how I welcomed them, you must welcome them in the same way. Ajizul waft. Reward them. Welcome them. Love them. Like I did so. When people used to come, Allah's Nabi used to love them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, there was one individual in Masjid al-Nabawi. He was a captive at that time. His name was Hakam bin Kaysan. We were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, busy learning and teaching. And Allah's Nabi was sitting with this one individual, speaking to him, explaining to him, answering him. I went to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Nabi of Allah, hours you sat with him, enough now. Allah's Nabi said, Umar, you carry on there. I am discussing with this person. Hazrat Umar said, After some time, I said to Allah's Nabi, O Nabi of Allah, this man won't change. Let him go to hell. دَعْهُ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ الْهَاوِيَةِ. When he embraced Islam, Allah's Nabi called us and said to me and said to us, O Umar, see, now he becomes Muslim. لَوْ أَطَعْتُكُمْ فِيهِ آنِفًا فَتَرَكْتُهُ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. O Umar, if I had to listen to you and leave this one ummati, it could be that person painting our wall at home. It could be that person who's the guard in the masjid yard. It could be our partner in our business, in our offices. Allah's Nabi said, if I had to leave him and listen to you, he would go to hellfire. Hazrat Umar says, فَأَخَذَنِي مَا تَقَدَّمَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. I was riveted by Rasulullah's reaction. And it was a lesson for me all my life. I was shocked that how important is one individual. This is what Allah's Nabi taught the Ummah. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, then he also told Sahaba, Hazrat Usama must go. Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu went in the path of Allah to make jihad in the lands of Sham. And Allah made it that they didn't even pitch up. And then in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sahaba was sent again. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent Al-Muthanna to Persia. And then he sent senior Sahaba to Roman territory. And then he sent Hazrat Khalid bin Walid to help Al-Muthanna radiallahu anhum in Persia. But now in Roman territory, very senior Sahaba was sent there. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hassan radiallahu anhu. Because he saw the vision and the entire dream as presented to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent these Sahaba. But the Sahabi who took Islam first into Rome was the fifth Sahabi to embrace Islam. What was his name? Khalid. Not Khalid bin Walid. He is a great Sahabi, yes. But this was the fifth Sahabi. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was the last Muhajir, last Sahabi to make Hijrah. Great Sahabi, great commander. But we seldomly mention this Khalid. Khalid bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu anhu. He was already striving. He lost his son also there. And Allah's Nabi sent these reinforcements. Islam entered those territories. Then Islam went into Palestine. Then Hazrat Umar came. When Hazrat Umar arrived in Palestine, he was so happy because he received the key and there was no battle. Before this, there were a lot of battles prior to this. Then he was returning. There's a lot of details to what happened here, but let's get into Africa. As Hazrat Umar was returning, Hazrat Amr bin As asked permission. What time is Azan, Hazrat? 8 o'clock is Adhan. Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu anhu asked permission. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, allow me to go into Egypt. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu first said no. But Hazrat Amr bin As's jazbah radiallahu anhu. And his jazbah was such. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent him in the path of Allah first time also. He was busy teaching deen in Qudaa and he was collecting zakat and uplifting people. The response he gave that time, he says, O the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you tell me where to go, I'm ready. I'm an arrow from the arrows of Allah. You the archer after Allah. See in whichever direction is the most difficult, the most rocky terrain, the most difficult lands and terrain, I'm ready to go. Send me there. So Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu anhu convinced Hazrat Umar. Allah's Nabi spoke of these lands. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are his relatives. From his foremother, Hajar, and from Maria Qibtiya. Allah's Nabi mentioned them as Rahiman and Sihran. Family ties. Because my father Ismail alayhi salam's mother was from there. And Allah's Nabi says, my son Ibrahim is from there. So Allah's Nabi says, treat the Copts well. Hazrat Umar says, you're right, go. Hazrat Amr bin As goes with 4,000 Sahaba on this expedition. They went through different areas. We don't have much time. Let's cut most of it. They get to one area. They conquered. The ruler, the Alexandrian king's daughter was there. Her name was Armanusa. And because when she was there, they came to warn her that Muslims had taken over this region. And she was very, very calm about it. And historically, she ran away from her father's palace. Because her father was forcing her to marry Constantine, the son of Caesar. And she didn't want to. So he was trying to enforce that marriage, so she ran away. So she's telling the servants around her, because they're asking her, aren't you scared? Shouldn't you be petrified? She says, I must be petrified of Muslims. I feel more safer under Muslims. My honor is safe with them. Even safer than my father's palace. And Sahaba carried on. And how Sahaba would become happy when people would come to Islam. They would recite Allahu Akbar in joy and happiness. And the local Christians were so happy with the treatment of Sahaba, because they were never given such warm, comfortable treatment before. To such an extent that their priests were banished in the deserts. When Hazrat Amr bin As took over, radiallahu anhu, and conquered, he actually invited their priests back. Said, we allow you to follow your religion. You live peacefully under us. You pay us jizya as a service because we protect you. They were shocked. That's why Egypt, the entire country came onto Islam. And prior to this history, historically, study when the Romans ruled Egypt. And study prior to that, when the Greek ruled Egypt, they couldn't change them. Even their civilization remained the same under the Greeks and under the Romans. They never changed because they hated those rulers because they were unjust to them. But they loved the Sahaba and they loved the Muslims. From Egypt, Hazrat Amr bin As sent his relative, Hazrat Uqbah ibn Nafi', you go further now into Africa. And all those African further tribes came into Islam. But this happened under the Khilafah of Hazrat Uthman. Allah chose Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu for this. Because in Kar Guzari, when report came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, stop the jihad now. Stop it. Don't take it further. Don't go into Africa. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he took Mashura and leave it where it is. Just protect what we have. Under Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu's Khilafah, he made Mashura that the people of Africa are living unjustly under the Romans. And they're suffering. They also need salvation. And that's when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu sent his brother. Sahaba gave the most difficult positions and tasks to their relatives. His brother Abdullah was the commander of that army. Abdullah bin Sa'd bin Abi Sarh. Their mother was the same. Arwa bintu Quraiz. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu brought him to Islam. His brother. This was that brother who passed away in Salah. His dua was always, Allah take me in the Fajr Salah. When he passed away in Fajr Salah. This expedition, they were called the Battle of the Abadila. Because all the senior Sahaba who were Abdullah were all part of this expedition. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. They all wanted the thawab to take of taking Islam into Africa. Hazrat Uqbah ibn Nafi'. As Abdullah bin Zubair was amongst them. And Abdullah bin Sa'd bin Abi Sarh was the commander. And the details come how they took Islam further. And then when areas were conquered, Hazrat Uqbah bin Nafi' remained 20 years teaching deen in that region. 20 years teaching deen in Africa. Up till 41 Hijri. He was calm and settled. Then Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu told him to take it further. So he went further up till 50 Hijri. By the time 50 Hijri came in, he reaches Qairuwan, right in the north of Africa, Tunisia. And there, Islam spread rapidly. But the Sahaba fell because there were many Sahaba with him. Many Sahaba with him. The many Sahaba who traveled with him, one of the great Sahaba, Hazrat Fadala bin Ubaid, very, very great Sahabi. Fadala bin Ubaid, one of the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the greatest qadi and teacher in Damascus after Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He was with Hazrat Jabala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His student, his ahadith are narrated in North Africa by his student Sulaiman bin Yasar. Sulaiman bin Yasar is that great rawi of hadith from all the books of Sahih. Siha Sitta, Sulaiman bin Yasar. He was very handsome. One day Sulaiman bin Yasar was traveling on Hajj with his students. The student of Hazrat Jabala radiallahu anhu. And they stopped at a certain point, and this was near Abwa. So they stopped there and they camped to travel further. So he was sitting in the tent and his students went to actually see the area. And just then, one woman from the area comes into his tent. And he was known historically to be extremely handsome. Sulaiman bin Yasar rahimahullah. Very great scholar, and he's one of the greatest fuqaha of Medina Munawwara. Seven of the greatest fuqaha is one of them. فَخُذْهُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةُ قَاسِمٌ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سُلَيْمَانْ خَارِجَ Sulaiman bin Yasar is one of them. Extremely beautiful. This woman comes in, and she was clothed in hijab. And then she opens her face. She says, how may I help you? So he brings food and he gives it to her. He's thinking, where can a woman open her face like this? She must be in dire need. She says, no. You too handsome. I want from you what a man does with his wife. And in this, he's shocked. There's no one around. He starts to tear. And he puts his hands on his face and he lowers his head and he cries and he cries and he cries. She got scared. She ran away from him. When his students returned, they see his eyes were bloodshot red. What happened, Aziz? What happened? He didn't tell them. But one student who was very close to him, he divulged the secret to him. That student started crying. He says, why are you crying? He says, what would have happened to us if we faced the same situation? He continued on Hajj after his tawaf. He sat in Hijr Ismail alayhi salam making muraqaba. And there he sees Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, handsome Yusuf alayhi salam. And he says to him, oh Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, what an amazing story between you and Zulaykha. Your example is so amazing. So Yusuf alayhi salam tells him, but Sulaiman, your story with the Bedouin woman in Abwa is also just as astonishing and amazing. So he was the student of this great Sahabi. And many, many great Sahaba. Sufyan bin Wahab Khawlani. His ahadith, right? They went in the path of Allah, taking deen, teaching ahadith. Hazrat Ziyad bin Harith Sudai, the famous Mu'addin, he was with them. His ahadith and narrated them. So all these Sahaba took Islam. Abu Yaqadhan radiallahu anhu, he used to tell the people of Africa, you all love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much because you all are imitating Sahaba in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how Sahaba took Islam. Hazrat Uqba bin Nafi', he then made Mashura. Should we now return to our lands, our homes, Medina Munawwara? As the Sahaba were giving their opinions, he said to them, I have experience in these lands. If we're going to go back, people here will lose their iman. We can't just go back. So they decided to create a center there for Islam. And that's what they did in Qairwan, in the furthest point of North Africa. But that was an area, they didn't want an area near the ocean, because the Romans could attack them very, very easily. So they took an area further in the jungles of Africa. Allama Ibn Kathir mentions the announcement of Uqba ibn Nafi' with a sahih, strong chain of narrators. He says the Sahabi stands up and he announces to the animals in the jungles of Africa, أَيَّتُهَا الْحَيَّاتُ وَالْهَوَامُ وَالسِّبَاعُ. He says, oh animals of the jungle, snakes, lions, all wild creatures. We are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are making this area our headquarters. You go further into the jungle. Leave this region for us. We give you 3 days. Historically proven in Bidaya wa Nihaya and all the books of history, Ibn al-Athir, rahimahullah, that these lions would take their cubs and the snakes with their snakelets and the scorpions and every creature of harm departed from there within those 3 days. And Sahaba built the center of Islam. From there Islam went into Spain. From there Islam went into Morocco. Morocco was prior to this. From there Islam went into Morocco after this. Morocco. From Morocco. Morocco was an area infested with highway robbery. From Morocco Islam went into West Africa. Students in our madrasa and a lot in Durban. People from West Africa, Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast. Sahaba's efforts. Afterwards, these great pious people took Islam into these regions. This was the year 430 Hijri. Deen was dying in Morocco. There was a man, Sheikh Yahya, Yahya bin Umar Lamtuni. This man, he had worry for his people because haram was coming into them. Halal was coming out of their life. He worried for them. I didn't get a chance to tell you how Umar ibn Abdul Aziz in Africa, in 99 Hijri when he became the Khalifa, he chose 10 ulama of the greatest degree. And he said to them, you all go into Africa to protect the aqidah of the ummah. And how these ulama worked together in North Africa to preserve the iman of the ummah. How the ulama made effort to take deen to the four corners of the world. A list of the entire names are mentioned. Then, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Yahya bin Sa'id, he worried about his people, 430 Hijri, he worried. So he went for Hajj. And en route he stopped in North Africa. He said, Islam came to us through y'all. Can you send ulama to protect our deen? What is happening there? They said, okay, we'll prepare and we'll send. They sent a scholar by the name of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Yasin. Abdullah ibn Yasin went into this region with Yahya bin Umar al-Lamtuni, son Haji, and he started working in this area. People didn't like his efforts because they said, you're a foreigner and you're trying to tell us what to do. Allah save us from this sort of tribalism. Allah save us from looking at the color of the person who's speaking to us. We have to love the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're living in South Africa. To rewind a bit. When Islam entered Persia, Rome, Africa, and Sahaba conquered, a lot of the people were conquered, many became Muslim, and many were taken captive, and as captives they were sent to Medina Munawwara. Analyze what I'm saying in a few minutes, and our elders will guide us. These slaves were purchased by Sahaba in Medina. Sahaba saw the potential in these slaves, taught them deen, freed them, and they became the greatest ulama of that entire century. Hassan Basri, we heard his name. He was a slave. He was the child of the slave of Hazrat Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. Our mother Ummu Salama. There was a woman in her home named Khaira. When her child was born, she asked Khaira, you gave a name to your child? She says, no, my mother, you have to give that name. Hazrat Ummu Salama loved the servant in her home's child so much. Actually, in the absence of the servant, Khaira, Hazrat Ummu Salama used to breastfeed the child. And milk would come out from our mother's chest miraculously. But not only him, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Ata ibn Abi Rabah was the greatest scholar in Makkah Mukarramah. When Ibn Shihab Zuhri rahimahullah went to visit Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who was the Khalifa in Damascus, the Khulafa used to ask the ulama, karguzaris of all the areas. So he asked him, where are you coming from, oh Zuhri rahimahullah? He says, I'm just returning from Makkah. He says, who's the senior ulama there? He says, the senior, the amir of all the ulama is Ata bin Abi Rabah. He said, mashallah. He was African. He was from Africa. He says, okay, what about Yemen? He says, Ta'us ibn Kaysan. So he asked him, is he from the Arabs or the freed slaves? He said, freed slaves. He says, what about Khurasan? He says, Dahaq bin Muzahim. Arab or freed slave? Freed slave. What about Egypt? He says, Habib ibn Abi Ziyad al-Azdi. Arab or freed slave? Freed slave. He says, what about Basra? He says, Hassan Basri, Muhammad ibn Sirin. He says, Arab or freed slave? Say, freed slave. He says, every area. He says, what about Kufa? He says, Ibrahim al-Nakha'i. He says, oh, okay, he's Arab. He says, look how Allah raised these slaves. Sahaba showed them love, taught them deen. Ikrimah was the slave of Abdullah bin Abbas. But don't understand slavery like what we read in comics of America. No, that's not what, if we're going to understand that, then that's not slavery. Muslims treated them like brothers. Allah's Nabi said, even your slaves are your brothers. Allah gave you authority over him. And actually, Muslims didn't free them immediately, because if Sahaba were to send them away immediately, they'll go back and they'll prepare an army and come and eradicate Islam like they did the first time. So give them a chance under the supervision of the Sahaba. In turn, Islam came into them. The environment won them over. They started learning deen. When the new Muslims would come to Medina Munawwara, and they showed disrespect to the Sahaba, they complained to Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr called them one side and says, if you're not going to tolerate these people, tolerate them like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tolerated us, it'll be them who will take Allah's deen to the four corners of the world. My plea, my request, respected elders, can't we start this with the servants in our home? Have our women folk taught them taharat, how to use a toilet? No, theirs is a dirty toilet outside. We don't even worry if the flushing system works, and then they must cut tomatoes and onions for us. We haven't even taught them that we eat with the right hand. Why? It's the sunnah of our beloved. They're working for us for 30 years. That old lady, she becomes sick. Did we ever take the himmat to go with our wife? Let's go to that location and visit this mama. She's working for us. Such loyalty she showed us for so many years. And while visiting her, sit in her lounge. Show her love. Give ikram. Be kind to her children. Fix her roof if it's leaking. The greatest sadaqah. We're living in South Africa. Centuries have passed. And we haven't even passed 3-4%. It's an indictment, wallah. Qul, Allah says, Qul. Tell them, O Nabi of Allah. Hadihi sabili. Ye mera rasta. This is my way. Ad'u ila Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. Every person I invite into Allah. whether young, whether old, whether big, whether small. I am an inviter to Allah, ala basira, with wisdom, insight, conviction, knowledge. Ana, I am an inviter. Wa man ittaba'ani, and every Muslim who claims to follow me is an inviter to Allah. This is an order of Allah. Allah's Nabi orders his beloved to tell his ummah, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmah. Illa rahmah lil alameen, for the entire universe in totality. And this is the message of Mi'raj. Respected elders, beloved brothers, it is our duty. Start in our homes. Start with our colleagues, associates. Please, let's start. Let's spread Islam. It's never too late. Sometimes we say we missed the boat. In the 80s, in the 90s, the locals loved us. But still, we can still get onto the boat. And everybody, yes, we go into the location, we feed people and we make them read kalima. MashaAllah, don't stop that. Hazrat Abu Bakr became Muslim. Who he went to meet? The most prominent people of Makkah. Uthman bin Affan, Talha bin Ubaidillah, Zubayr bin Awam, Abdurrahman bin Auf. So, are we scared to talk to those prominent people that we have association with daily? Allah give us tawfiq. Will we do this, inshallah? It is our duty, inshallah. Please, respected elders. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu. Forgive us, we haven't touched the topic. Allah give us tawfiq to visit you again, and we'll carry on where we left off, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi Ibrahim.